Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to another episode of PWT Talks NXT for March 8th, 2022. And we're going to be talking about NXT Roadblock. Guys, we have a new champion. We have a champion that I never thought I would actually utter this particular sentence on this podcast, as I just said to Tom off air. Dolph Ziggler is our new NXT champion. Those are words I never thought I would utter. If you told me this would be the case maybe even 4 months ago, even after the NXT 2.0 rebrand, I might have laughed a little bit. Yeah, I didn't see this coming, to be honest with you. I thought this might be a little bit too early for Bron Breakker's title reign to end, but we'll get there, guys. We'll get there. We'll get talking about that momentarily. As I said, I am, this is PWT Talks NXT, and I am Nate Lindberg. You can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I write the NXT hits and misses, and I do have one up for Roadblock tonight if you'd like to check it out and see what I thought about the show. Here with me to talk about Roadblock is one of the normal idiots because, well, you know, Kelly was just too good for us to actually be here tonight. So, Tom, say hey.
Yes, hello, at Tom Staup on Twitter. I'm going to the torch right now to see whether you gave a hit or a miss to that main event. Why the heck not is what I say.
Why the heck not indeed. Honestly, I gave it a thumbs up. I gave it a hit. I really enjoyed this match. A lot of back and forth. They did a pretty good job of making Bron Breakker feel like an underdog. They talked a little bit about it on air. The announce team talked about him being a bit of an underdog because here he is. He's the green guy. He's the newbie. He might be the champion, but he only has, a handful of months, really, I believe, a couple years or so of experience under his belt going up against a couple veterans here that you've got a former WWE champion. You've got a former two-time NXT champion. Two-time NXT champion. So it really kind of did paint him as a little bit of an underdog going into this match, even though in the back of my head I'm going, is he really an underdog? I mean, he's the guy they're really trying to build around right now. He's the one they're really pushing and they're really building up. I really didn't think he was going to lose. And if he did lose, I thought it was going to be back to Ciampa. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be to Ziggler, which I'm kind of, in a way, pleasantly surprised by, because I've really enjoyed Ziggler and everything he's been doing here in NXT so far. It's really felt like a breath of fresh air coming from his character as well as down here in NXT. Just something seems a little bit different about it, and I'm enjoying it. I'm really liking it. So it'd be nice to see him down here a little bit longer. I was really expecting his run to kind of end with this match. So he's going to be down in NXT for really the foreseeable future. My gut instinct right off the top of my bat, without talking with you, without talking with our callers and emailers or anything like that, right? My gut instinct off the bat is Ziggler's going to carry this to Stand and Deliver, which is now being branded as the grandest stage of them all for NXT, which sounds really strange, to be honest. But hey, whatever. Ziggler will carry this into Stand and Deliver. Bron Breakker wins the title back, and then they'll be able to claim that he is also a two-time NXT champion. Those are my immediate thoughts. Tom, what are yours?
So, admittedly, I was thinking that Ziggler winning would be the most interesting result for the sake of the television show, just because the main title picture right now, I don't want to say stale. Stale is not the right word at all. It's just, it's Bron Breakker and it's no one else. Obviously it's been Ziggler. It's sort of been Ciampa. Ciampa's there to boost up Breakker. But Ziggler winning was not a believable result. They have only ever toyed with that before in the women's division with Charlotte winning 2 years ago. We even talked about it last week. I forget what the question was, but I was just like, who the heck else is there? They'd have to sort of shotgun somebody to that spot. It would just have to be like, oh, LA Knight walked out, and because he was the first one to walk out, I guess that's going to be the match. Sure. So I went as far as to wonder if they might be wacky enough to do this for that exact reason, that it's just more interesting for the sake of the TV But that was just an idle thought. It wasn't even worth considering saying it out loud. And here we are. I was right in the middle of typing the note. You know, these near falls are just not believable, no matter how hard they work, because we know that Bron Breakker's going to retain. What? So they got me. So that was fun. And like I said, why the heck not? I do, you know, even seeing the immediate aftermath, not the fallout, but the immediate aftermath, I think it is more interesting. And I don't know. I'm not as certain that Breakker is simply just going to retain at Stand and Deliver. It seems logical. And if he had retained as expected and we were asked a question that I don't know if we still are, but I was expecting to get asked tonight in, do we feel that Bron Breakker's debut on Raw last night is actually a call-up, or if he's just there for a little bit, like Grayson Waller showing up for a little bit. Waller didn't even work a match. And my answer would have been, it's just a little bit for now. Ciampa's getting called up. That's my sense there, especially because they altered his music and he dyed the beard and everything. And he's changing his ring style for the different television show. Enough on that. As for Breakker, even though a lot of people feel like he is going up like very, very soon, I would have said that I expect him to hang around for a little while longer. So I guess I still expect that. We're going to have to see. They've got me in a situation now that I did not expect to be in and I'm not adverse to. Again, it's sort of like at this point, the title lineage is not what I'm worried about. Especially with the men's title, my goodness, with the way they hot potatoed that thing around over the past couple of years. The women's title, the prestige of the women's title, I was a bit more concerned about, and still am to an extent. That's a different rabbit hole. But I'm not worried about, like, well, it's the NXT title. You can't do that. And I haven't seen the Twitter reactions. I'm guessing it's probably along those lines. I don't know. I'm just repeating myself now to say that I think it actually is interesting. And they have me not knowing where they're going and kind of intrigued to see, like, you know what? Let's do a grudge match between Breakker and Ciampa at Stand and Deliver. That will be Ciampa's last NXT match. And then Dolph Ziggler can have a John Cena U.S. Open Challenge career renaissance and just put on classic after classic on I almost said the black and gold brand, but you know what I mean. So, no matter which way I try to fantasy slice it, it seems favorable. So I dig it.
We're going to go to an email from Kevin Catani. Salutations, gents. Well, was that finish supposed to happen? There seemed to be a fair bit of hesitation after the pin. I guess we'll have to see. Other than that, I'm excited to see, and I'm assuming on that he was talking about the finish to the main event, as this email did come in after the show ended. Other than that, I'm excited to see the women's Dusty final, and dare I say, but the men's tag division is actually full of storylines and actually exciting me. What do y'all think about that? Lastly, I'm pretty sure that I saw a fan wearing an Affliction shirt. Do they still make Affliction shirts? I don't know. I'm not even sure what an Affliction shirt is. I'm not cool. But that's just me. He says, thanks as always. Listen to 8YB and go VIP. Office hours are now over. Professor Kevin P. Catani, PhD. So as far as the finish, I'm honestly not sure if I picked up on any weird vibes right at the very end there. I think the only weird vibe I picked up on was, holy crap, Ziggler won. So I might have to rewatch it to see if there was anything that I noticed, like that might signal to me that, oh, maybe that pin wasn't supposed to happen. But I'm going to say yes, simply because it was like right after the overrun, if I'm not mistaken. So it seemed like timing wise, it kind of worked out. And I can't imagine that they would have flubbed something like that, between Breakker, Ciampa and Ziggler. I can't imagine they would have flubbed that. I think this probably was the intended finish. As far as the women's Dusty final, I'm sure we'll get there a little bit later, but I'm actually kind of excited about it. I didn't think I would be necessarily, but I'm interested to see where this goes. Wendy Chu is certainly not somebody that I necessarily want to see, but the other three, I certainly do. So hopefully she doesn't have much to do with the match and we'll go from there. And yeah, I agree with you. The men's tag division right now is completely full of storylines, a lot going on. You've got things going on with Briggs and Jensen. You've got Briggs and Jensen came up. They confronted Legato backstage. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things going on in the men's tag division. It actually kind of feels like it might be, they're actually giving it some attention where the NXT tag divisions, especially as of late, have just kind of felt flat to me. And then before we go throw to you, Tom, I'm going to go to another email here from Dana Greer. Hey guys, I'm not upset about Dolph winning. Hopefully it'll get more eyes on NXT 2.0. Do you guys think this has anything to do with the reaction Braun got on Raw last night, or was this planned all along? Extra excited for Stand and Deliver now. Thank you, Dana G. So, and as far as this one goes, I kind of think this was probably planned all along. You never know with WWE and NXT, you know, things change, well, especially now with NXT, you know, as it's kind of the Bruce Pritchard show, and I don't mean his podcast. You never know. There are things that are always changing on the fly and whatnot. My guess is this is probably what was planned. I'm sure they may have, you know, floated a few different ideas for finish around, but I think this is a unique idea. Dolph Ziggler makes the brand feel a little bit more important. He feels more important than he has in recent memory. Hell, even not so recent memory, you know. We talked about that a couple few weeks ago. So I'm going to go with, I think this is probably the planned finish, at least going into this week, you know, taking yesterday into account as well. So on Kevin and Dana's emails, before we go to the live callers, Tom.
Well, first and foremost, Nate, just so you are caught up to speed, Affliction shirts are extremely cool and very hip, and everybody who wears them is just the talk of the town wherever they go. I may or may not.
Brock Lesnar guy was wearing.
That, you know, I'm guessing that since that fan is in town for AEW's pay-per-view, I'm guessing that is who Katani spotted, since they were sure to get a close-up of him, and his whole thing is wearing that same shirt that he was first spotted in.
And that, now that I'm Googling it, yep, that was almost certainly who he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. My Affliction shirts are way cooler than his Affliction shirt, singular.
Affliction shirts versus Ed Hardy shirts. Who's worse? Anyway, continue.
And that's, Justin James. Anyway, longtime listeners will know. Very good, very nice to hear from Dana on the show. I don't think this is in response to his reaction last night, because I feel like they knew what the crowd reaction was going to be to Breaker, because, like, I mean, sure, they would have been pleasantly surprised if the crowd went nuts, but they had the canned cheer ready. As soon as he came out, they had the fake pop, and you can tell just by looking at the audience that it was not real, and the sound, I've said this before, I do not have an ear for that sort of thing, and lately the sound actually has been more noticeable. I feel like I can, like Lita was the most noticeable. Like, when Lita was coming out on Raw, you could tell that those were real people shouting, and whenever they do the fake stuff, it sounds like somebody turning on a hairdryer. But, I feel like, yeah, I just feel like they anticipated that, okay, this is the first time they're seeing this guy. So, I don't think they expected people to go nuts. I only say this jokingly. It passed through my mind as just like a little joke to myself. But there was that weird spot during the match where Ciampa was lifting up Ziggler for a power bomb.
Yeah.
And Breaker just like flew across the ring and went splat on the mat. He wasn't aiming for anybody. It looked like he was trying to maybe slide out of the ring, and he was doing it on the wrong side of the ring. Like he's supposed to be the third guy out at that moment, and he's supposed to be outside the ring and sort of waiting for his spot, and he came in later and did a spear, by later, like 10 seconds later. But he just like seemed to, I don't know if this is actually what was happening, but he seemed to try to dive out of the ring. It was caught on camera. He didn't make it, just splattered, and then just slid the rest of the way.
Yeah,
he did roll. He did roll. And then you see him pop up and wait for his spot as if he's just like, oh, I'm exhausted. I'm waiting until my opportune moment. And it's just like, oh, no, dude, the camera caught all of that.
And Vic tried to save face by he called it out, and he was like, it looked like his legs just fell out from under him. And I almost felt like calling it out was even worse. I mean, I guess maybe you gotta call it out because it was so blatant, but yeah, it was. That was
and
bad.
You just wonder, since he did it when Ciampa had him up, had Ziggler up for the power bomb, and the shot was framed up to do one of those things that WWE production loves to do, where somebody just flies in from the side or the top of the frame, and you didn't know they were there, or you know, at home you didn't. I wonder if that was supposed to be the spear spot, and then they just set up for it differently afterward. I guess he probably did just lose his footing because it. Oh man. Anyway, where I was going with that was that, like, you know, I joked to myself that maybe that spot happened, and then everybody's in their earpieces like, yeah, we're changing the finish. Just put it on Ziggler. I think that covers the emails. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. All right, so I think that covers the main event, at least for now. If the callers want to talk about it, hey, feel free. So speaking about the callers, we're going to go to the phone lines, and we'll open it up to area code 312. 312, go ahead, state your name, where you're calling from, and what do you got for us tonight?
Sean from Chicago by way of Chico, California.
Hey, Sean. Hey, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Last week I called in and I said the best thing for them to do would be to put the belt on Ziggler and make Breaker chase. Or you had the option of calling him up now, which we all know since he got a video package, he's pretty much gone. That crowd didn't want him to be champion either. Like when you pitted him against Ciampa and Ziggler, he was the heel automatically. So it was the best call regardless, instead of force feeding the crowd, Breaker win. But now, like you guys said, you could do the grudge. You could do Breaker and Ciampa and Stand to Deliver, and you could just have Dolph have a nice little run.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I think this is probably best case scenario. You know, like I said, I personally didn't think that was going to be the way that they were going to go. But, you know, now kind of looking at it and thinking about it, it kind of does make sense. You know, Breaker has a completely uphill battle right now, and has for a while, coming in as, you know, I've kind of viewed him as kind of like Roman Reigns, like, you know, not current iteration of Roman Reigns, but, you know, the former iteration of Roman Reigns, post-Shield Roman Reigns, where he's just kind of getting shoved down our throats. And I was really kind of expecting that to be the case for Bron Breakker. And in a way, I kind of feel like it was to a point, but I feel like they've done a really good job of kind of making him seem not like quite the golden boy, if you will. That's part of the reason I figured he was going to end up retaining tonight is just historical WWE booking and, you know, them constantly pushing somebody down our throats. you know, like they did with John Cena, like they did with Roman Reigns. But this was refreshing. This is kind of a good, in my opinion, is a good way to book him because he doesn't feel like he's just getting, you know, forced upon us, you know, which some people may feel like is the case with Breaker. I've been cool with it so far. Like, I've been enjoying what Breaker's been doing, but I can certainly see how others might have that perception. So, personally, yeah, I think this is a great way to do it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how they work Ziggler in NXT. I'd love to see him do, like, with Thomas Zane, you know, like a U.S. Open challenge, like Cena did with the title, with that title, anyway.
Match of the year.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be fantastic. You know, I'd love to see
Ziggler
something like
Kushida,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
Give him 30 minutes, and we'll fall in love.
Oh, God. I'd eat that right up. I would eat that right up. I hate to say it. I don't see it happening. I kind of feel like it's going to be, as you were saying, like a chase for Breaker, you know, to get the title back. But, you know, if they wind up going a different direction, I'm not going to complain. This is kind of like, I feel like this is a bit of a career resurgence for Ziggler, and I wouldn't mind having him stick around in NXT with the title. Tom, what say you?
No, I'm with it. Put a gimmick on Ciampa Breaker and let Breaker beat the NXT out of him.
Yeah. Loser goes to the main roster or something like that. I don't know. Sean, what else?
I mean, it should be brutal.
Ziggler deserves it because Ziggler didn't go through NXT. And when in an era where Punk and Bryan were on the same show, maybe not the same show for Punk, but in an era where Punk and Bryan were in the company, Ziggler was actually the best wrestler in that company. It was a small time. It was a short time. But it was a time when he didn't even have a world championship on him. It was right before that when he had slightly different music. It was like the first version of what he has now. Yeah. It's kind of weird. There was a time where he, if you guys remember, he would do the 10 jumping elbows, and he'd do the neck lock into like a handstand. That Ziggler at that moment, and it was maybe it was just a couple months, was the best wrestler in the world to me. I'm just saying, for my money, I'm just saying. Who do you think is a list of potential champion? Opponents for him if he has a run. Like, who do you want to see get the Ziggler rub?
I mean, I'd like to see, you know, if he is going to have any sort of a long-term run, which I don't think he will, but if he did, you said Kushida. I wasn't thinking that, but, like, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see him and LA Knight get involved together. There'd have to be an alignment shift. LA Knight's going face right now. Never mind. LA Knight versus Dolph Ziggler. I think just on the mic, that would be fantastic. In the ring, it'd be pretty good. So that's certainly a way they could go. And LA Knight he's one of the more polished acts on the brand right now. So, you know, if you want to do something that's kind of almost main roster-esque, I feel like that's probably a good way to go. You could always do something weird too. Like, you know, I mean, it's like Tony D'Angelo, he had a vignette tonight saying he's going to come back as being the Dawn of NXT. They seem to be really high on Tony D'Angelo. I'm not sure if I necessarily buy him as an NXT champion, but hey, why not? Give him a title shot. I feel like if you want to build him up a little bit, putting him in the mix with those main event players is probably a good way to do it. Those are a few that come to my mind right now. How about you, Tom?
It's going to be painful to a lot of ears, but Kushida is glorified jobber status right now.
I know.
Like
he's,
Dolph
he's,
was.
Yeah, true.
He's
the
new
double
Dolph.
Check myself.
The A-Kids come in
oh,
and they just put
else.
Him in a Dolph position. He is Dolph now. That's exactly why I said Kushida, because tonight they established that Kushida is the Dolph of NXT, which is not a bad thing. Because Dolph Ziggler is one of the most accomplished people in all of WWE, like history, period. There's Seth Rollins,
yeah.
Roman, and it's a short list, but Dolph is at least at the bottom of the list. Sorry, great.
Yeah, as you implied, Kushida will lose to A-Kid next week. He's just there because they know he'll give A-Kid an action-packed match. Yeah, Kushida, I was double-checking myself, Kushida is – one of only two people who have suffered multiple losses on Level Up so far. He has wrestled twice and lost both matches. So I'm looking at the roster, and I thought that more names were going to jump out at me immediately. The first name that jumps out at me is Gunter. And I know that, like, with Tony D'Angelo, and I feel like somebody else you mentioned, Nate, we're talking about heels here. But Gunter, you can do that. And especially if they do have high main roster hopes for him, then you can beat the main roster guy. You can even beat him on NXT TV and talk about that, on, hopefully, preferably, talk about it on the main roster as they have been doing with this Ziggler program on Raw. It's gotten a segment, a significant segment every single week. And you can show just how mercilessly Gunter destroyed Ziggler, who at this point has defended the championship against all comers in instant classic matches for 4 or 5 months at this point. Let's see. Harland is longer term. I mean, the other wrestlers we have talked about in potential future NXT championship territory have been, like, thinking realistically and you know, that a call-up wouldn't come sooner than this for them, are Zion Quinn. He's got improving to do, but he's on his way. Solo Sikoa, who would be ready now as far as an in-ring standpoint, but needs more. It would be a surprise if he won now. He needs more significance put on his character. Who else jumps out at me? Do you want to go back to Escobar again? See, yeah, that's exactly where my mind went, and it's the heel thing again. I don't think you'd want Escobar winning it off of Ziggler, and I do not foresee Ziggler turning during this run, assuming the run lasts longer than 3 weeks. You want to go crazy and put it on Odyssey Jones?
So Odyssey Jones was somebody I just noticed on the roster. His name, you know, stood out to me. I'd say I'd want to see him have a little bit more of like a build. We haven't seen him in a while.
Injured.
And he is injured. Okay, that would explain it. The other one that, and this is a stretch. This is a stretch, but it could be doable because he was a member of Undisputed Era, and that's Roderick Strong.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the match would be fantastic.
I was just going to say, the match would be good anyway.
The match would be fantastic, but I don't know how well, like, Roderick Strong could actually, you know, build up to that. We'd have to see if they were going to do something like that, but that's certainly something that kind of sticks out to me.
Here's a stretch. Maybe, and this is a long shot because I don't know what his status is, but a returning Gargano?
You took the words out of my mouth, to be honest with you. I'm staring at his name right now on the roster list. And that could be, you know, I mean, it'd be great to see him come back and have like a nice, you know, heartfelt return to NXT, especially where his, you know, the status of his career is kind of up in the air right now. We don't really know if he's going to be re-signing with WWE or if he's going on or whatever. He's still listed on the roster page, but as far as I know, it's kind of up in the air. So I could certainly get behind that as well.
He'll come out in Dallas after Breaker versus Ciampa and help his buddy to the back.
Hey, there we go.
Fantasy. I have no sense for where in the world Gargano is going to end up, but it does feel like he has unfinished business on 2.0.
I think he's going main roster. I think the entire reason, and I think everybody's getting some out of it. I think there was like a huge deal worked between people, and it was like I want Ciampa and Gargano to move up, but it was more so of a how do I get Ciampa out of the way as champion, but how do I get Breaker at the same time to move up, and how do I give Ciampa what he wants, which is going to be to work with Johnny Gargano. So I think everybody had to give each. It was like a three-way trade. Everybody had to get what they want in this, and I think most of it had to do with whether or not they could get Gargano and Ciampa to move to the main roster. So they already have Ciampa, and they're doing it with a good storyline. We're all talking about it, and we care about it. So I think this move, not solely for Gargano, but I think he was the the biggest acquisition of it. And Bron Breakker was the, okay, you have to let him go too. He can't stay in NXT if you get Gargano. You're going to have to build somebody else up to take Breakker's spot, which they have a few. Well, I think it was just like a crazy trade that they did to call some people up, but still move some people into another position, which is why Dolph had to go down so that Dolph and Rude had to go down so that, you know, their spots on the main roster could be taken by Ciampa and Breakker.
It is absolutely hilarious to me that they are not on NXT and on Raw. They are not referring to Bobby Roode as a former NXT champion.
I didn't pick up on that, honestly.
They're always weird about that. I don't understand what the point of doing that is, especially with Ziggler being the second person, Mandy Rose being the first to win gold, just coming straight from the main roster to NXT, although she kind of counts, but not really. But, you know, Ziggler just won a title, so it obviously means something. He was just a tag team champion maybe a little bit over a year ago with Rude on SmackDown.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Speaking of Mandy, I guess I don't see anybody really for her to face. I know they're probably going to do something with EO and Kaylee Ray and have Mandy when it's a triple threat or something like that. But what's the long-term booking for Mandy look like?
Yeah, that's a good question right now. Cause like I was kind of thinking about the same thing. I've got the female list of the female roster list up here right now, and I'm looking through it and it's like nobody but Io Shirai stands out to me. Even Raquel Gonzalez to a point stands out. Kaylee Ray stands out. Other than that, like it's really slim pickings for the women's division. Like Cora Jade potentially, but I feel like Cora Jade and Gonzalez, they've got some business to take care of first. So I don't think Jade or Gonzalez is going to be in the title picture anytime soon. Heck, with the trajectory that she's been having lately, it wouldn't surprise me if Wendy Chu winds up in the NXT women's title scene. But I kind of think it's going to be something to do with Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray, whether it be, you know, individually or not. But by the same token, if they wind up winning the Dusty Cup, that kind of takes them out of it too. So it's kind of up in the air right now. Like I don't know who they're building to be the next contender for Mandy. Tom?
Yeah, that was a question we had last week as well when we were trying to figure out what in the world they're going to put on the Stand and Deliver card. And things are a little clearer tonight, even though there are some matches that they seem to be building to that they could easily just put on television as well, but just with the way that they like to put at least one major match on television every single week. So I think the answer is somewhere among the women we saw on tonight's show, and Kaylee Ray has been the most obvious pick for a while, and it's just trying to figure out the strategy of like, okay, are they trying to get a champion who is tried and true and works on TV, or are they trying to do the former NXT thing of anointing a champion as signaling to the fans and signaling to main roster management, like, okay, this is somebody who has made it in our developmental system, and we are signaling that they should succeed on the main roster. So Kaylee, unfortunately, I don't think fits into the latter. I worry about how she fits into the main roster mold. So then I'm just looking at Raquel and Cora. And the only reason I'm looking at Raquel, because it just seems like been there, done that for her, especially with Mandy as the champion, or as the person on the other side of the ring, rather, I'm just looking at the fact that Raquel was glaring and fuming at Mandy in her VIP section after the match tonight. I'm sure that the way that match went is going to lead to Cora and Raquel versus Gigi and JC, but Mandy's the one at the end of that road, and Raquel was putting the emotion in that direction tonight. And they're not in the Dusty anymore. So, well, that didn't matter for MSK, but we'll get there. So I guess I'm just going to say Cora Jade, because it seems like she's the one who is being given the most. Whether she's living up to it or not is a different question, but it seems like she is the one who's being given the most, forward, upward trajectory in the realm of that championship scene.
Here's a question, and this is what cut all that BS right now. If Asuka came back, but then you could never take that belt off of her in this NXT because it's 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
Bayley came back, who do you see challenging Bayley eventually and taking a title and being anointed? Who right now in NXT that they have signed, do you see taking the belt off of a Bayley at Stand and Deliver, getting that belt somehow, and then she goes on a roll, and they bring somebody from the bottom or whatever who's on that roster that can take it off of her convincingly?
It's a good question. I mean, like, I definitely see an upside, I guess, for Cora Jade, and mostly in the way that they've been booking her. She's still got some work to do, like Tom was saying, but I could see that working. And Cora Jade comes off not quite as Bayley came off as like NXT Bayley, you know, the hugger. But she's kind of got that same bubbly personality. So I feel like that has kind of a built-in story right there where Bayley's like, oh, come on, honey, you're so naive. I used to be all bubbly and happy like you, and now I just want to hate on Michael Cole for the rest of my life. Or something like that. So I feel like there could be a really good built-in story there. Again, Io Shirai, you know, or all of the women we've kind of – well, you said from the bottom of the card. From the bottom of the card.
Who's their Braun Breaker?
You know.
It could be Zoe Stark.
Could be Zoe Stark if she's ready to come back. Tiffany Stratton, it could be an interesting choice. I want to see a little bit more out of her before I kind of make my full – like opinion about her. So far, we've only really seen her in really short matches. The first time I saw her, I wasn't nearly as impressed with her as most people seem to be that particular night. Tonight, I was kind of a little bit disappointed that match ended so abruptly because I wanted to see a little bit more of her tonight. But she's got the mic work down. She's got the character work down. Her finish is awesome. She seems pretty smooth in the ring for the things that like she knows how to do. So that could also be, if you want to take somebody from the absolute bottom of the card and just throw them right again, you know, right up, in the title scene, that's something I could see potentially working and being somewhat believable.
So just because I remember Bayley really responding to Dakota in the first Mae Young Classic, Dakota, and that's just having been in the room and seen it. Like Bayley wasn't shown noticing her, but like when Dakota was out there, I was watching Bayley's reactions to Dakota. That would be fun to see, but more realistically, outside of the realm of complete fantasy, because that is not. That's not a. It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Even
I don't know.
Even
man,
in
Dolph
the fantasy
Ziggler
world
NXT
of
NXT champion, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Right,
either.
Right. I was going to say, like, even in the fantasy world of Bayley coming back and becoming women's champion before Stand and Deliver, my answer is still Cora Jade for the same reasons. But when you rephrase the question as who is their Braun Breaker? To be completely honest with you, their Braun Breaker right now, if that's the way we're looking at the question, it's Nikita Lyons.
I knew you. That's who I thought.
Yeah.
Who looks the part that you want everybody to love immediately? Who do you wish you could crown with no problem whatsoever and just put them on the main roster as soon as you feel like it? That's Braun Breaker.
She just has to remember what side of the ring to stand on when she's doing her kicks.
Not necessarily. Yeah, I mean, she can mess up, and we'll be okay with it.
every single one of her highlights that keeps getting reshared on social media has something she's messed up in it. So I guess people don't mind when she looks the way she looks.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But anyway, she's not, I'll be honest, she's not even somebody that crossed my mind, because in my head, she just isn't there. She's not there at all. I'm not impressed with her at all. In the ring, on the mic, you know, yeah, she's an attractive woman, but it's not necessarily what I'm looking for in my champion. I want my women's division from like 2 years ago, I guess. That's where I'm at. But
now,
that ain't going to happen.
This is just for fun, because I thought of it while you were, you know, just with this subject at hand while you were talking. Just for fun, I'm not challenging you, because I totally agree with you on Nikita Lyons, and we could go into detail all day on that. But if they had not decided to just go pedal to the metal with Bron Breakker, and he was being positioned more as, well, let's just say like Nikita Lyons is. He's getting a few video packages that primarily focus on him building up his character, a lot of which may or may not be true. He has his talking abilities, and we see him in mid-card squashes. Do you still recognize his talent through the presentation, or does he blend into the background?
In my opinion, if there's talent there, I'm going to quote Randy Savage: "The cream rises to the top."
And is Bron Breakker the cream?
Again, in my opinion, anyway, for what we've seen in NXT 2.0, I don't know if he's necessarily the cream of the crop, but I think he's definitely got the full package, and he may be out of everybody in the 2.0 male class, he might be the one that kind of has like every one of the three things you need to be a wrestler down. He's got the look. He does have the mic skills. You know, they're not everybody's cup of tea, but like, I love it. I love him on the mic. It just seems raw. It seems authentic. It reminds me of his dad. It reminds me of his uncle, which, you know, is a cool thing in and of itself, but it's not the full real reason I like it. It's a different promo style than like everybody else right now. And he also has it in the ring. I mean, he's pretty, with the exception of that weird flop he did tonight during that triple threat that we were talking about earlier tonight. Yeah, he's still green. He's still got things to learn, but he's I think one of the more advanced in the ring out of the 2.0 class, especially with how little, you know, experience he really does have. You know, he's certainly somebody that I can see Vince just plucking straight out of this main event division, this title, NXT title division, right into the WWE title division, you know, or heck, you know, start him in the Intercontinental US title, you know, level and build him up or something like that. But I can see him just basically plucking him right out of NXT, putting him right in the main event, right on the main roster rather, and him just fitting right in.
I agree with you. I think answering my own question, I think if he had a few squashes, we would just see a few suplexes and a spear, and we would be like, oh, well, hello.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a lot of Goldberg in him. He really does. I don't know if that's good or bad, but you could tell one of his favorite wrestlers that he was watching a lot of WCW up close. Not just like backstage, not just on TV like we were. You could tell he was. I think that intensity is great. I think he embodies the intensity of Goldberg, but has far more ability than he does. But I'm not going to cut down Goldberg now, because ironically, Goldberg is having the greatest matches of his life, because he slowed down because he's 50-something and he has to. But let's just take a moment to celebrate there being a Steiner on Monday Night Raw in 2022.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down with that. Sean, we do have one more caller on the line. Did you have anything else you want to bring up, or should we keep things rolling?
No, keep things rolling. It was fantastic. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank
Good
you very much,
you,
man.
Sean.
Good to hear from you. And feel free to call in again anytime. All right, so we're going to go back to the phone lines, and we're going to go over to 814. I believe this is Ryan, Cumberland, Maryland. If I'm right, go ahead, say hey, and let us know what you got for us.
It is Ryan from Cumberland, from Maryland.
All right. Hey, I knew I was going to – I told myself last time I was going to try and remember it, and I did. All right. So what'd you think of the show? What do you got for us tonight, Ryan?
Pretty good show. First question's on Dolph Ziggler. Do you see him defending the title on Monday Night Raw? And if so, who could you see him defending the title against? Because it seems like they are doing a little bit of a crossover with NXT lately.
You know, that thought didn't even cross my mind. I would love to see the NXT title defended on Raw. I don't know. Some people may think, you know, may disagree with me or whatever, but with how different NXT 2.0 has been, you know, over the past 6 months, it's hard to believe we've kind of almost hit that 6 month mark at this point, but we're just still up there. You know, with how different the show has been, and there was a lot of negative stuff swirling around the show. You know, ratings have gone down. People have stopped watching. So to take the NXT title and put it on the main roster, put it on Raw, you know, and put it in a prominent position where it is being defended and it's made to look like, you know, a respectable title. Hell yeah, let's do it. Off the top of my head, like where I hadn't really thought about it, I'm not sure who I would necessarily put him up against at the moment, but hell, you could even have, you know, Ciampa come out. You know, Ciampa's been, you know, he's been on Raw here and there. You know, recently it looks like he's going to be called up to the main roster sooner rather than later at this point. So, I mean, you could even continue this feud, have Ciampa come up there and kind of, you know, work that into this story somehow. Well, I kind of look through the roster. What do you, does anybody just kind of like jump out of you, Tom?
Randy Orton. No, everybody who follows me on Twitter, the few of you who are still around know that I do love me some Randy Orton. But anyway, okay, so I wasn't thinking this when I suggested that Ziggler should do something akin to the John Cena Open Challenge. I didn't even mean Open Challenge necessarily. I just meant similar to what John Cena was able to show fans during that period of his career. But I think that if Ziggler were to defend the title on Raw, it should be in that kind of context, and it should always be against an NXT wrestler who is being introduced to the mainstream fan base. However, if Ziggler, and I have no idea where this guy is at in the ring, which probably gives away whom I am about to say, and you know, well, you take my meaning, but if there is somebody who is officially on the Raw roster who should answer the challenge and beat Ziggler and win the NXT championship in his first ever televised match, it's Gable Steveson, and then he could go to NXT and defend it there. But I think that would be pretty cool. And that's, you know, that's the optimism of feeling that not only is he ready to do the worked version of the sport this soon after completing his collegiate career, but also that he's actually going to pan out the way they are banking on.
I'm going to say this somewhat jokingly, but also somewhat actually seriously.
Not Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, hell no. No.
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and sorry, Dominic. I didn't mean it quite like that, but no, that's just so far from where I was thinking. That's why I got
it. I did.
Hell no.
I
know,
did, Dom.
I know you did.
Thanks for your years of listenership, but, you know.
No, I really do. I want to like Dominic. I really do. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. My suggestion was R-Truth, just because, man, I love me some R-Truth. I think it'd just be funny. He could come out and do something, you cut some promo about how, you know, he spent so much time down in NXT and, you know, just completely be himself,
okay.
You know, and how he never won the big one down in NXT and something like that. I think it'd be hilarious. And the match would also be pretty good. I mean, R-Truth, even for you know, his age, he can still go. I think that would just be funny. I don't think that's
it.
The
I was, I was trying to no-sell you on it, and then you said that R-Truth would reference back to his storied history in NXT, and I'm like, oh, my God, I love it now.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, something like that could be cool. You know, if Kevin Owens wasn't, you know, in a thing with Steve Austin right now, I'd love to see Kevin Owens come out and do it, you know, an open challenge or, you know, answer an open challenge for it with, you know, his history in NXT. Austin Theory even, you know, because he's been kind of, you know, pushed a little bit here and there.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit here and there. So
just a match against Brock Lesnar at MSG.
Yeah, you know, Jesus Christ, I already forgot about that. But yeah, Austin Theory, somebody that kind of sticks out to me could potentially be in that spot. Heck, you know what? Finally debut Veer Mahan.
Oh no.
All right.
I'm trying to not get on the bandwagon of that Twitter joke, but it's difficult. It's very tempting.
He has now officially, according to Twitter, Veer Mahan has now officially surpassed Emelina. Emelina had I think it was 133 days of hype, and he is now at 140, according to something I saw on Twitter earlier today. So we've hit a milestone here for Veer Mahan. God. But yeah, you know, so those are certainly some that stick out to me anyway. Ryan, any follow-up on that, or what else do you have for us tonight?
Another question I have on the show is this: A Kid, they said, is the first Spanish WWE superstar. Is that true? Because that's, you know, a pretty big country, and they have WWF has been around for a long time. So, do you know of anyone from Spain that's been a superstar?
Actually, yes, Kane. Kane was born in Spain.
But would that qualify because he was born on a military?
I don't think that necessarily qualifies, but he was technically born in Spain. I don't know. Other than Kane, I I'm mad at Kane right now. I have him blocked on Twitter. I just needed to throw that out there. Other than Kane, I can't think of another wrestler that came directly from Spain, at least that wasn't kayfabed anyway. I don't know.
Can you think of one that's been kayfabed?
Oh no, you know what? I was going to say Aldo Montoya, but definitely not. I think it was Portugal.
I don't think they throw that kind of thing around all that much. And there have been a number of firsts recently. Like, I might be making this up. Well, no, I'm not even going to say it because I might be making that one up. But, actually they've reminded us recently because of her SmackDown debut. But Xia Li is the first wrestler of Chinese descent in a WWE ring. There have been some other firsts lately that I'm just like, oh, really? There wasn't one before that? Okay.
I just happened to find a page on prowrestling.fandom.com that shows all the wrestlers that were born in Spain. Kane and A-Kid are on that list. There are others on the list as well, but none of which actually I'm familiar with. Tiny Terror, that's she looks more like a porn star. I'm going to click off this page. Anyway, other than Kane and A-Kid, I don't know. And according to at least this database anyway, it doesn't look like any major wrestlers in WWE have come from Spain. You know, Kane, I guess in a way counts because he was born there, but I don't think that, he was an actual, I guess he is a Spanish citizen if he was born there, but I think his parents brought him back to the U.S. shortly thereafter, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it looks like
Knox County is going to have some questions.
Yes, show that birth certificate. It looks like A-Kid may in fact be the first actual Spanish wrestler in the WWE, and that's actually really surprising to me. All right, Ryan, what else do you have for us tonight?
Yeah. Final question. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but the Keita Lyons, have you seen what they've been saying about her backside? The theory is that she got surgery to make it look bigger, because when she was in GLOW, you know, she wasn't as developed, you know, down below. So is that like a surgery that a lot of female wrestlers are getting or not?
It's not something that I really pay attention to. I don't know, to be honest. You know, whether that was something that she got or not. Tom, I mean, you went as far as to like start stalking her father on Instagram. Do you have any idea?
I did watch some of her WOW matches, none of which are any good. And the only ones that I could find online are all against the same opponent, and it's the exact same match every time anyway. To the point where I was wondering if I was just watching the exact same match, literally, and it was just from a different camera angle each time. But, there's definitely a stark difference. And, you know, especially in recent years, fashion isn't the word, but the, what is the word? But that has become an appealing part of the body to develop, thanks to famous people like Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, putting that in the mainstream. And Nate, you and I we agreed and we first agreed privately and then brought it to the podcast that our first impression of Nikita Lyons was that, oh, she looks like an Instagram model that hasn't quite hit the algorithm yet. So I don't think it would be that far outside of the realm of possibility to imagine that she might have gotten a surgery like that, because it is a thing that that women have been doing lately. You can also focus your workouts in a way to develop that area. I'm not a trainer, so I don't know if it's realistic to believe that she could have developed it quite that much, because it is a rather stark difference from her WOW days. I guess maybe that was clever of Lash Legend or whomever scripted Lash Legend to bring that into the segment tonight, that it wasn't just a line, it was actually something playing upon an internet rumor.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'm sitting here like comparing pictures of her on WOW compared to now, and I'm starting to feel like a creep. So we're gonna close that tab too.
And Nikita Lyons has that effect on us.
Yeah, seriously. It is what it is, I guess. But yeah, you know, like you said, you know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but. You know, I hate speculating on stuff like that anyway. Just personally, I feel like it's really, in a way, it's none of our business. But at the same time, like you said, they did bring it up on TV. So I guess it is fair game at the same time. But I don't know. It just makes me a little bit uncomfortable. But anyway, yeah. So Ryan, anything else for us tonight?
I don't really have any questions about the show, but one of you said that you sort of like see the superstars around. I sort of wanted to know, on NXT, are there like a lot of smokers still, or is Vince's like hatred for smoking scared them from smoking cigarettes and developmental?
That's a good question. I have not seen it myself. But the last time I ever saw a wrestler smoking, it was Joey Janela at an MLW event. I can't say I've seen it, but I also can't say that that's a definitive answer, because I just occasionally bump into them around town. Well, right. Even if I was, because of course there was the again, for longtime listeners, the food trucks. I would always, you know, the Full Sail audience, we'd always see the wrestlers out at the food trucks coming to get their, I don't know, Philly cheesesteaks or whatever. I don't know if they were smokers. I don't know if they would have smoked in that environment around the Full Sail fans. But Yeah, the MLW atmosphere was so different. It was just it was very hangout, and if you were cool and not a creep, then it was very easy to just sort of chill with the wrestlers and just be cool. I could just like anybody else hanging out. But Joey, for whatever it's worth, he was keeping to himself. He did not seem to want to be bothered. Not that was something I might have been interested in. But I just bump into them around town from time to time, since so many of them are based here and work here on a weekly basis. So I can't say that I know for certain, but I certainly haven't seen it myself.
You know, of course, when the question was asked, my initial instinct was, smoke what?
Oh, of course.
All right, Ryan, any follow-up or anything else, or shall we move on?
I heard Randy Orton is a smoker, maybe more ways than one.
I have heard he was a smoker, but as far as marijuana, that I don't know. That I don't know.
He's been joking. Yeah. I think Ryan, you're about to say the same thing as I am.
Thanks for taking the call.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much, Ryan, as always. All right. So before we hit the rest of the matches tonight, because we've pretty much talked about like one, I'm going to go back to the email bag here and read one from Brian Alston. This is from Brian from Phoenix, the 31-year senior Torch VIP subscriber. Hello, friends. First, let me say it was a pleasure meeting Dr. Kevin Catani. Even though I was late to dinner and didn't eat much, it was great to talk to Kevin and his friends. If anyone comes to Phoenix, the first drink is on me. And I know I mentioned this, and this is me talking, not Kevin, not Brian talking. And I know I mentioned this when Kevin mentioned that you guys met up. Great to see that you guys met up. I'm glad the show's bringing people together. And I hope someday, like, you know, we all could hang out, do something, you know, like a little bit of a PWT Talks NXT Torch meetup somewhere or something like that. I don't know. It'd be cool. It'd probably be expensive. I don't know if we'd all want to do it, but, you know, I can dream. Anyway, Brian goes on to say, on the March 1st, 2022 edition of PWT Talks NXT, Kelly started talking about NXT wrestlers starting off/being at a beginning or an A level. And I liked the analogy. With the presumed top being at level Z, examples of Z wrestlers are Tommaso Ciampa and Io Shirai. However, someone like Lash Legend would be more like at like a level D. Level A would be tough enough, just learning how to run the ropes. All of that being said, given the A to Z levels, where would you slot these wrestlers? The Creed Brothers, Dexter Lumis, Harland, Tiffany Stratton, Casey Catanzaro, Raquel Gonzalez. Don't forget to listen to VIP exclusive NXT Years Back this weekend, March 12th. The movie trivia will discuss the career of an actress that Kelly has crush on, Sandra Bullock. Hey, Nate. Hey, Nate too. And as for a tease for March 19th, I thought you'd be taller. Thanks, Brian Alston. So I figured we'd go to this one first to get so we get the emails and everything addressed as early on in the show as possible. I say that as we're like an hour into the show already, but then we can kind of run for the hills with the rest of it. So I kind of like this. So where would we slot the wrestlers given A to Z level? So we get Creed Brothers, Dexter Lumis, Harlan, Tiffany Stratton, Casey Catanzaro, and Raquel Gonzalez. That's kind of a tough one because I feel like, for me, all of them would kind of fall almost like square in the middle on a little bit of a bell curve. Like, you know, Tiffany Stratton probably closer to, like, you know, the beginning of the alphabet. Same thing maybe with, like, Harlan, whereas, like, Casey Catanzaro, I'd probably put it, like, I don't know, an M or an N or, you know, O, something like that, kind of right in the middle of the pack. Dexter Lumis, probably about the same. Creed Brothers would probably, for me, be kind of like around like a J or a K. You know, I feel like they're good. I want to see some more like character work out of them. But right now I love everything they're doing. And Raquel Gonzalez, I'd say I'd put her probably in, about the same, maybe like maybe an I or a J, because there's a lot there that she's got a lot to work with, but her acting skills are meh. She really needs to work on kind of feeling more believable and authentic with her promo skills. But yes, there's a lot there, but yeah, there's still some things she really needs to work on. But I think if she does, then yeah, she could easily be like a main event player and, in WWE main roster. So real quick, Tom, what do you, where do you slot all these people?
Well, good tease, Brian, for a movie question that he has not. Well, let me check. Oh, well, I'm not going to read it. I will stick to I have not read it yet. But now with the tease of I thought you'd be taller, I wonder if he's going to ask us about Star Wars or if he's going to ask us about John Carpenter movies. I did reference Snake Plissken last week. So, Anyway, yeah, this, I certainly won't be able to commit to a letter on any of these. The Creeds show so much promise. I mean, honestly, like, I really love what the Creeds are doing in there. Many other analysts are calling them super green. And, I mean, I haven't given them the bonus point treatment yet of, and I know, like, I talk about that as if there have been more episodes since it's only a monthly podcast and I just started it. There's only one episode so far, but I'm still, you know, I have a lot of notes for the forthcoming March episode. I have not given them the bonus point treatment yet of really, like, slowing down their match and going spot by spot and really, really looking at it. But just in real time, watching each of their matches once through, I love what they bring to the table. And nothing that they've done has worried me or made me feel like they are an act that you could have just debuted them on the main roster and nobody would have questioned it. Dexter Lumis. So what letter do I put them at? I guess then I'm going to put them at, well, what, this is so ridiculous. I need to can I like pull up an image of the, what is the letter that's halfway through? Is it N? N, okay.
Yeah,
we all know the alphabet, but N feels like it should be further along. But that's when the alphabet song, that's when you get to, like, L-M-N-O-P, as if it's all one, where you start saying the letters faster.
Apparently, I was just told that they changed the alphabet song, so there's no more L-M-N-O, and it's now different. You've got kids. I was hoping you might be able to tell me about that, but I don't know. Somebody told me that the other day, and I'm like, no, that's not cool. You don't change the alphabet song. Let's do that. You don't do that to me. Not after 34 years on this planet.
This is the NXT title. You can't put it on Dolph Ziggler. I love that because I have kids, and that was not implemented at their schools, and it was difficult for me to teach them that LMNO is not one letter. So then Dexter Lumis. Lumis has been a lot better lately. He hasn't really changed what he's doing, but I've enjoyed it a lot more because it's just got subtle character behind it rather than nothing at all, which of course was the point before, but it did not read to me the fun way that it was supposed to read. Fun? Were they trying to make him actually creepy at first? I think it was always supposed to kind of be a fun thing, but maybe it was supposed to be creepy and it just totally failed at that. But can I be lazy and say N again? Because, like, I'm not in love with the guy, but he has made strides. They are subtle strides, but significant ones. So I'll be nice and say O. Dexter Lumis is an O. So Harland, man, I really like what Harland's bringing to the table, and it's in limited capacities so far. I'm very impressed with, I'm just repeating myself because I said this on Bonus Point. I said this last week on the Daily Cast. I just, love how he's making what he's doing look so brutal, but if you really break it down, he's working really safe, and he just knows how to make it look good. And the camera angles help him too. But he's obviously not at a high level yet, and I think if he were undeniably more you could chalk it up as protection, since he already had, when he was an offensive lineman for UCF, he already had the Brock Lesnar comparisons going on. So maybe they just really, really want to protect the guy and not expose anything. But I feel like if he had more undeniable talent, then we would have seen more of it so far. So I'm going to say he's at an I. He's one letter better than his own initial. Tiffany Stratton, everybody who listens knows how high I am on her. I think she's fantastic and has a lot of potential. She needs to be more consistent. I think move to move, it's not pristine, but I love the way she works character into her matches, and other, you know, one, you know, here I am stepping on future bonus point notes, but she even, well, I'll be more vague about it. She was able to improvise. Something unexpected happened in her recent Level Up match, and she worked it in seamlessly. And I'm always impressed when people are able to do that. It was a minor thing, but she still worked with it, where we've seen other people at a high level just try to ignore it and move on as if it didn't happen. So I'm going to say she's at L. That's conservative, but I'll say L. Man, do I want to put her lower than the Creed brothers? I like her so much more than the Creed brothers. But realistically, okay, we'll stick with L. Casey Catanzaro is an interesting one. Am I taking enough time on this? Because Casey really started at like a B. I'll be generous and say a B. And they did. They protected her a lot. I've said it over and over again. They really stuck her with at the time Reyna Gonzalez, Raquel Gonzalez, and Rhea Ripley, and really had her just like practicing the exact same sequence of spots over and over and over again. Even when she got into the Royal Rumble, that was the exact same sequence of spots that she did in that first Royal Rumble. And we've seen her grow from that point. And her match tonight still felt very practiced for the most part, which I think is the first time we've seen it look that way in quite a while. But I really have been impressed with just how far she's come. So taking into account that she started at a very low level, an A or a B, I'm gonna put her at an M. I'm having trouble breaking away from that middle of the alphabet here. And again, like with Stratton, I want to put Casey higher than that. Casey should be higher than Stratton, but I want to put her higher than that. But I just, you know, realistically, I should not justify that. And then Raquel Gonzalez. See, that's an – oh, Brian, you picked a really interesting group of names, because she's one who, you know, first time we saw her in – or first time – I saw her anyway in the first Mae Young Classic, losing in the first round, coming out in that really awkward looking, really, really bad looking green attire she had on. It didn't look like it fit properly. And she had like, what did I call her? I think I called her like the Phantom of the Ranch or something like that, because she looked like she was trying to do a Phantom of the Opera thing and a Texas thing. And like she might have been a C or a D there. I guess if Lash Legend is a D, yeah, she was somewhere between C and E. And just gradually over the years, every time you see her, it's like, okay, now she's an F. Okay, now she's a G. Okay, now she's an H. And it really did plateau. Was it just last year that it did? Yeah, I think it was around last year where it was like, you know what, I think she's earned this spot. And then it just sort of plateaued, and she hasn't really gotten any higher than that. And I think the more and more we've seen her at the same level and not growing from it, the more holes we've seen in her game that have just from what we've been able to see, take her down a few more notches. So I think I'll rank her higher than anybody else, but I think I'll put her – no. I think I'll put her at the same place as Dexter Loomis is at an O. Yeah, I think that's what I'll do.
All right. That works for me. Works for me. Sounds good.
What did I spell? What's that spell?
Oh, God, I didn't keep that. I didn't keep track of everything. I don't know. I don't know. All right. So now that we've spent some time on that, let's actually talk a little bit more about NXT Roadblock. We were just kind of talking a little bit about Tiffany Stratton. So why don't we start there? We'll start with the shortest match of the night. We saw Tiffany Stratton take on Fallon Henley, if I'm pronouncing that right. A little bit of a job. We've seen her a few times here on NXT. And hey, a little bit of a plug for Tom's new show, Bonus. Oh my God, I was going to say Breaking Point. Bonus Point. He gets in and talks a little bit about Fallon Henley in that there as well. So certainly check that out. But we saw them go tonight, 2 minutes and 46 seconds, Tiffany, Fallon Henley getting the win after interference from Saray. We saw some smoke at the entrance of the stage. As everybody's looking at the smoke, Saray comes out and takes out Tiffany Stratton from behind, allowing Fallon Henley to get the quick win. Shortly after the match, she started celebrating with Briggs and Jensen, and it actually led into another pretty amusing skit. It was actually probably the first time I've chuckled at a skit involving Briggs and Jensen at all, a little bit later on in the night. I like this match. Fallon Henley is somebody that I definitely want to keep my eye on, and that's not just because you said somebody you want to keep your eye on as well in your VIP podcast, Tom. I was really impressed with what we saw tonight. I mean, it was a short little match. She only got a little bit of offense in, but what she did get in was, she showed some energy. She showed some fire. But she also showed, after the match, some character work working with Briggs and Jensen. Again, not the greatest. It's developmental, so I'm not expecting Oscar-winning performances here in terms of promo ability and acting ability and things like that. But I think she did a pretty good job for somebody that was on the card as a glorified jobber. Tiffany Stratton, we've talked a little bit about her too tonight. I'm high on her. I still want to see a little bit more out of her before I kind of fully pass my judgment on her, but I'm leaning more high on her than anything. I don't necessarily like the daddy's girl gimmick. I understand the appeal and I think it can certainly be an awesome heat magnet. So I think it's certainly working for her. And like I said, what I've seen out of her in the ring so far, when she's on, she's on. When she's not, she's not. We'll kind of see where she falls from there. But anything on this particular match, as well as the stuff with Briggs and Jensen later on in the night?
Yeah, nothing new from Stratton here, but it's... It's the first time a lot of people have seen Fallon Henley win a match. And even though that is the case, they have, I got the sense from the routine that her appearances on 205 Live became, that she was sort of being flagged as somebody to watch. I obviously not in the W column, but it seemed like she was being talked up, like, okay, we signed somebody that we have some hope for. And on Bonus Point, I said that she reminded me of Tegan Knox, and not in the greatest ways, because Tegan really only had one gear, and even though she started to show some potential toward the end of her NXT run, it never got there. Never really lived up to all of the hype that she had for years and years, that just unfortunately kept being waylaid by injuries. And the reason I said that I'd never seen Fallon Henley win a match is to preface that I didn't know what her finisher was, assuming what we saw tonight was her finisher. Oh, it's a Shining Wizard, just like Tegan Knox. And she also, I don't think they replayed it. I don't have a 10-second rewind on my cable app. It looked like she just flew right past her. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my eyeballs have deceived me. But it looked bad. Same thing happened in the MSK match when it looked like one of them. I can never remember their new names.
Wesley
which
Matt
in
Carter.
Turn. Okay. And then I can't remember which is which. I think Wes Lee, because I can't remember their new names, but I'm focusing on them so much, I then in turn have started to forget their prior names. Zachary Wentz, I think, is Nash Carter now, and that's what I got. But you know, how wrestling melts the brain. But
right.
I thought I saw him do a drop kick at one point and just like completely whiff, but he still slapped the thigh, so you know, it got sold. But maybe it was the camera angle. They were also moving really quickly, and it wasn't a close-up. Maybe my eyeballs deceived me, but yeah, so I would be curious to watch a replay of that on Twitter or something, but it didn't look good from Fallon Henley there. So but hey, you know, again, because even though she hadn't won a match, I just still got the sense that she was sort of being signaled as like, yeah, we might do something with her on the preliminary shows. It's kind of nice to see her getting a win over a featured talent, even considering the circumstances. Brooks Jensen is working on it. I thought that was very funny, just like I've found all of his other stuff very funny so far. It was especially funny when after the I'm working on it, Electra Lopez, you know, ridicules him for never having been with a woman, and he, you know, missing why that's supposed to be embarrassing, missing why that's supposed to, I don't know, he's like, I'm working on it, like it's a tough thing, like, hey, I'm, so then Fallon Henley, wondering what happened to the Creeds, she then questions Jensen and Briggs, like, what did you do it? And he goes, I said I'm working on it. Yeah, so that was I like these guys so much.
Yeah, I'll be honest, they have not done a thing for me up until tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I have really not been impressed with like their stuff backstage or in the ring for that matter. But that line got me, and like they kind of became a little endearing to me tonight in that skit. I'm not gonna lie. They will see. I'm not gonna say they're gonna win me over, but yeah, we'll see. Okay, so let's move on. Let's keep talking about that. Well, we're talking about the women. Let's just keep talking about the women. Let's talk about the opening match tonight. We had Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez versus, I wrote down, Toxic Attraction. That's not right. yeah, that's certainly not right. Help me. Who did they face?
Dakota Kai
and Wendy Chu. Thank you. Dakota Kai and Wendy Chu. I don't know why I wrote down Toxic Attraction. They were involved in the match later on. The match went 14 minutes and 4 seconds. We had Toxic Attraction and Mandy Rose up in their little booth. What are they calling it? Like the Toxic Zone, or I forget exactly what they were calling
it. Does it have a special name? I thought it was just the VIP section.
No, they named it 2 weeks ago, and remember what they called it. It was like the Toxic something. I forget, but it was like, or the Toxic Lounge, I think might be what they called it. But they were hanging out there, which is like this little, as Tom said, kind of like a little VIP section behind the audience. So they could watch all of the matches in the Dusty Classic. Toxic Attraction, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, they did interfere later on in the match. And we wound up seeing Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai pick up a win over Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez. Not gonna lie, I really didn't see this one coming. In a way, like, I guess, yeah, I didn't necessarily write it out, you know, write it off, because I kind of had a feeling Toxic Attraction was going to get involved in this match one way or another, or at least, if not this match, one of the two matches, you know, one of the two semifinal matches we had tonight for the Dusty Classic. But I had a feeling they were going to get involved, probably in this one, considering it had Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez in it. So it wasn't super surprising to see that. But to see Wendy Chu moving on in a tournament is just, I hate it. I can't say it any, I can't, I'm just going to be blunt. I hate it. I hate the character. And I don't hate the wrestler. I really don't. I think she's doing a great job with what she is being given. Like, she's doing the best she can with this horrible gimmick. But I hate the gimmick. I hate falling asleep in the ring. She fell asleep, and then Cora Jade, like, tiptoed around her at one point and tagged Raquel Gonzalez in. Then Raquel went to go for an elbow, and Wendy Chu just, like, rolled out of the way. And how stupid does that make Raquel Gonzalez look? She's a former NXT Women's Champion, and she just got bested by somebody who was sleeping? Like, that's so stupid. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I hate the gimmick. I hate the fact that it's being pushed. If there is one thing in NXT 2.0 that I could make go away, it would be Wendy Chu. And Lash Legend is a thing, guys. I'm picking Wendy Chu over Lash Legend. That should tell you something. If I needed to make something go away, it would be Wendy Chu. I don't understand where this character can go. You know, unless they have some amazing, elaborate story for this character, it has a ceiling. And I feel like she's already touching where that ceiling is. And going anywhere beyond that is going to be detrimental to her opponents, I feel like. Just like I felt tonight, her being asleep and then getting a one-up on Raquel Gonzalez when Raquel went to go drop an elbow on her and Wendy Chu just rolled out of the way. That made Raquel Gonzalez look like very stupid. Like, she did not have any ring awareness whatsoever. I get it. It was a comedy spot and all of that, but that's not the time for the comedy spot. Not with your former women's champion, not with especially somebody like Raquel Gonzalez. That's supposed to be just a badass. You don't want to put her in a situation where you kind of have to, like, you laugh at her a little bit for doing something dumb. I've kind of just ranted a little bit about my hatred for Wendy Chu and that, but in a way, I'm also glad to see Dakota Kai get a win. I don't like this current incarnation of Dakota Kai's character either. This whole, like, talking to people that she doesn't see thing, talking to, you know, I hear voices in my head, a la Randy Orton type of deal. I'm not super sold on it yet. I feel like if they were going to push her to the moon and push her right back into the, you know, NXT women's title scene and then turn this into like a big angle where she just snaps, right? And she starts listening to those voices in her head and she becomes this cold-hearted, like, bitch of a killer type of a character. Like, sure, cool, I could understand that, but I can't see them doing that with Dakota Kai at this point. They haven't pulled the trigger on her yet. She does it. She feels like she used to feel like she was like de facto the next person in line for the title. I mean, we kept saying that, what, a year and a half ago. And now, I mean, when Sean earlier tonight was asking us for people that, you know, could potentially go for the NXT title, Dakota Kai didn't even come into my mind. You brought her up. And I thought to myself, like, holy crap, I can't believe I didn't even think of her. And that kind of bothers me. I really wish she was not quite that low on the card. It is what it is. I feel like it's a missed opportunity and she has a lot more to offer than what they've been giving her. But with all of that, Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez have been eliminated from the Dusty Classic. We're seeing Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai move on to face Kaylee Ray and Io Shirai later on, whenever they have the final for the Dusty Cup. So on, but yeah, on this match, Tom.
So I'm not sure how much new I have to say about Wendy Chu. Just the simple, I enjoy this sort of thing at the indie level. It's amusing. It can be clever. It requires being over. It has to be something the crowd is into to work, but it does not work on a bigger stage. And I feel like in that spirit, because I think it's the exact same thing, and it's something that I have enjoyed over and over again at that indie level, you can take everything you just said about Wendy Chu working with Raquel Gonzalez and insert Orange Cassidy and anyone who is meant to look credible in the ring. And it's the same situation. So I know I've gotten pushed back on that comparison, but I really do think it applies. Enjoyable gimmicks for a less serious type of show. But yeah, it comes with a ceiling. I will say that if they do want to try to make it work, which is a game with no victory at the end of it. That was a weird way to phrase that. I don't know. Whatever I mean, you know what I mean. There's no light at the end of that tunnel. But if they do want to try, I do at least really appreciate Cora doing the shush thing. One thing that I've been saying is that, like, somebody needs to hold this crowd's hand and basically teach them that they should be shushing during Wendy's matches. They should be trying to let her sleep. They should be doing whisper chants. There should be like a whole shtick that the audience does along with her character to play along with it. They haven't figured it out on their own, and maybe they're right not to have, because maybe they're just plain old not enjoying it. It doesn't seem like they really are. But if someone like Cora is holding their hand and walking them through it and doing the shush thing, and trying to be like, she made the tag to Raquel, but it was a quiet tag. They didn't slap their hands together loudly. You know, then they, I don't know, they could even go as far. I could see them going as far as to do the type of thing where maybe somebody just tries to cover her while she's asleep and the official gets shushed and counts quietly. But then, you know, Wendy, you'll roll over before three or whatever. So it's ridiculous, but if they want to try, I'm glad that they are at least actually trying and not just leaving her out there twisting in the wind. The result is just bizarre. I already referenced why it seems weird that grasping at straws here, but it seems like they might be building to Raquel Mandy at Stand and Deliver. Just strange, unless they try to do the same thing that they're doing with the men's division with the women and put Cora Jade and Raquel in a triple threat at the end of the Dusty. You know, they lost in the second round, but they're still in the finals, just like MSK, or whatever round it was they lost in. That was the finals again. Well, whatever. They still lost. So, where was I going with that? Yeah, just, There's the story between Raquel and Cora, which they seem on the same page now, and it wasn't Cora's fault that they lost. So it seems like nothing really got furthered there, because Cora didn't end up rallying and winning or anything. She tried to rally, but it wasn't effective. So nothing seems furthered there. And so then we just look to them wrestling JC and Gigi, because JC and Gigi are the ones that interfered, although they did so at Mandy's behest. So, or I guess they did so at their own, since they're the ones defending the title. I don't know. It's a bizarre result, because even though it seemed telegraphed, even though the finals of the tournament seemed telegraphed with Raquel and Cora going on to face Kaylee and Io, it really does just feel weird putting Coda and Wendy in there. On a kayfabe level, Wendy being good for Dakota, I guess, is kind of interesting for Dakota, because she's now going to be questioning herself, you know, allowing herself to open up yet again to a friend who, you know, friends betraying her being the whole reason why she's demented now. No other way to do it other than to awkwardly shoehorn it in. But I noticed that Action Jackson was on bottle service before getting beat up off screen by Inofe and Blade. I don't know who the other guy was, but Action Jackson was one of the people pouring in the lounge.
Action Jackson. I like that name. That's a solid name. That's a solid name. All right. Let's keep on rolling with women's matches. And we'll talk about Kaylee Ray and Io Shirai versus Casey Canzaro and Caden Carter. The match has come up a few times over the course of the night. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. This match went 11 minutes and 16 seconds and did see Kaylee Ray and Io Shirai go over, which, you know, there was part of me that was a bit torn. I kind of wanted to see Casey and Caden go over because there's part of me that really feels like they deserve a shot, maybe not necessarily to win the Dusty, but at least a shot and make the finals. Like, you know, they're one of the few tag teams that, like, I remember watching them, you know, form and kind of start, watching their rise to where they are now. They never really made it. They've kind of always been an undercard act, but they always go out and they perform and they do their best. No, they're not we talked a little bit about it earlier tonight. You know, Casey Catanzaro, she's still a little bit green. And there's certain things she can and can't do in the ring and things like that. The fact that they are an established tag team and they're the only established tag team that was in the Dusty Classic, at least as of tonight, I thought it'd be kind of cool to see an established tag team make it to the finals. However, did you really want to sacrifice Io and Kaylee Ray to do that? And then, you know, you could also do it without necessarily sacrificing them, I guess, whether it be some weird finish, which we did see a ton of you know, unclean finishes here tonight. through most of the match, I think there was 4 out of 6 of them had some sort of, you know, interference or came to a no contest. But you know, they could have still done it. So, you know, Casey and Caden won and, you know, Kaylee Ray and Io, lost, still saved face, started a feud between the two of them, maybe to potentially figure out who's going to face Mandy Rose for the NXT title. That could have been a direction they went. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at this on paper, Kaylee Ray, Io Shirai versus Casey and Caden, you had a feeling which direction they were going to go here. It was really no surprise to me to see Kaylee Ray and Io Shirai get the win. Glad to see it. You know, even though I just said I would have liked to see Casey and Caden kind of win, at the same time, really glad to see these two get the win too. Io Shirai has not had nearly as much TV time as she used to have over this past like year or so. So seeing her on TV, same with Kaylee Ray, I'm never going to complain. So I said I wasn't going to talk a whole lot about it, and I feel like I talked more than I expected to. So, Tom, we'll throw to you.
As much as I would have genuinely liked to see the KCs get a really nice clean upset win here, the finish was hardly in doubt as it wasn't for the main event and as it wasn't for the opener, and yet I was wrong on both of those as well. But regardless, I felt like Casey and Caden really showed out here. I mean, that is kind of what they do, but it was especially on display here, I felt. Yes, as mentioned previously, with some of Casey's more practiced stuff in there, with Io just sort of basing for her. And then the unfortunate, it wasn't the finish, but it was really close to it. The unfortunate moment where Kaylee Ray just landed on her head. And I tried to say, oh, maybe I saw it wrong. And you know, sometimes with the long hair, it like a lot of times it looks like they're landing on their head, but it's just an illusion of the hair. And yeah, no, you look at the replay on Twitter and she landed on her head. She sold the heck out of it. It doesn't look like anyone checked on her, in a more significant way than somebody would have been checked on after any high spots. But yeah, hopefully nothing went on there, because she landed pretty square, it looked like. I don't know. I think she was pretty much guiding her own bump on that one, so it may have just been a miscalculation on her part. I'm not sure. I can't try to speculate that thing, even having that specific spot, even having watched several angles of it. But I guess there really isn't too much else there. Just that one unfortunate spot, but I really did enjoy the rest of the match.
All right, so let's keep on keeping on, and we'll get into MSK versus Imperium. So this match wasn't even supposed to happen tonight. This match is supposed to be the Creed Brothers versus Imperium, I was kind of wondering how this match was going to actually take place, right? Because Imperium heels, Creed Brothers heels. Matter of fact, a few weeks ago, I was on Wrestling Night in America with Greg Parks, and we were talking about the match going into Stand Deliver is one coming up.
Was it Vengeance Day?
Vengeance Day. Thank you. Vengeance Day. So I was on with Greg talking about Vengeance Day, and we were talking about, the Dusty Classic Finals, which, the MSK versus the Creed Brothers. And I originally had my money on the Creed Brothers to win. And Greg said to me, he's like, well, remember Imperium, they're the tag champions. Like, and I started thinking, I'm like, all right, you know what? Yeah, you're probably right. They can't necessarily do the heel versus heel dynamic. And I changed my mind last minute, and I ended up going for MSK. And I obviously wish I wound up sticking with my original choice with the Creed Brothers, because that was my gut choice. Is like they felt like they were on the right trajectory to win the Dusty Classic. And they were the team that, they were pushing. They're the new 2.0 team. MSK, even though they're a newer team, they were still around for the Black and Gold brand, and they're considered, like, I think by the NXT brass, they're still considered like the old guard. So I didn't think MSK was going to necessarily win. But again, when you come into this match with Imperium, heel versus heel, how are they going to necessarily get out of it? Well, they had the Creed Brothers get attacked in the parking lot, seemingly by Imperium. We're not sure if it was necessarily Imperium, but they didn't deny it really either. MSK called them out on it, which ended up leading into this match. MSK said if they faced them for the titles tonight and they won, that they would end, that MSK would give the Creed Brothers a shot at the titles that, given the opportunity at the titles that they ended up losing tonight. So this match, I'll be honest, I had trouble getting into it, as I do with a lot of MSK matches, but partly because we've been there, done that with this match. We've seen MSK versus Imperium, countless times at this point. At least four or five, if not more, I feel like. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but man, in my head anyway, it seems like it's been that much. So I had trouble getting into this match. It was still solid action. It was, it was a good tag team match, but it really wasn't like my cup of tea. For the duration of the match, I did like the finish, however, because it did come to a no contest. You had the Creed Brothers come out. You had the Creed Brothers take out all four members of, both members of MSK, as well as both members of Imperium, Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel. So it was kind of like, even though MSK was kind of sticking up for the Creed Brothers were like, we don't care. How do we know you didn't take us out? And they just flattened everybody. I have a feeling this is probably going to lead into like a tag team triple threat or something like that for Stand and Deliver weekend here. God, that still sounds weird. It should be Takeover, man. Should be Takeover, but whatever. Coming into Stand and Deliver, that's kind of where my initial thoughts are, is the triple threat. Tom, what did you think? We had MSK versus Imperium, 5 minutes, 35 seconds, go to a no contest.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of BS that MSK got in like this. And, just on the podcast, it probably doesn't sound like I give them much of a chance, that I've just decided ahead of time that I'm going to dislike everything they do, which, with the exception of their shaman quest, which was just ill-begotten and had no chance of ever being any good, every time I see them, I'm like, okay, I know I used to like these guys. Let's see. Let's see if they're good tonight. Let's see if I can get into their match tonight. Let's see if I find their backstage promo amusing tonight, or whatever, or effective, not necessarily amusing. And every time I'm just like, oh my God, these guys, why do they annoy me so much? And I did not. So I didn't like the conceit of that the match existed in the first place for already mentioned reasons, or already established reasons. And then I guess I referenced it as well. I didn't like the match because it was just thigh slappy and flippy. And I didn't really buy what they were doing. And now we're in a situation where it's definitely going to become a triple threat, like you suggested. And it's also total BS that the losers of the Dusty Cup are still going to get to compete for the prize that the winners of the Dusty Cup got to compete for. And I'm like, we're going to get next week, we're going to get a promo, or the week after, like next week, they'll confirm that match. And the week after, which is the go home, or maybe still one more week after that. I'm going to stop trying to math. We'll get,
it's probably
Bivens,
for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. A dangerous pastime. Bivens will be in his diamond mine. And I was like, what do they call it? Oh, I guess probably the diamond mine. He'll be back there talking into camera, and he'll say, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because the Creeds are now they just have double the asses to kick, and they're still going to win, which they will. But it's just BS that MSK gets to be in the match for no reason.
Yeah, no reason other than to make it so it's not heel versus heel, really. But yeah, I agree. It's kind of BS that they get interjected even though they lost. You know, all they were trying to they were trying to be like stand up guys and like, hey, we'll give them a shot if we win it. But I don't know, it still seems a little, it's far fetched booking. But
since they were playing coy, I wasn't even really thinking about it all that much while it was happening. But since they were playing coy with the who done it of who beat up the Creeds, who the Creeds, the way that they sell getting beat up is like flailing their legs all over the place in the parking lot. They're laying on their backs and flailing their legs like turtles.
I was going to say like turtles that couldn't flip over.
Yes, exactly. I didn't think about it because of course it was Imperium. You know, this isn't much of a storyline, guys. It actually would be interesting if it was MSK and it gets revealed that like, because it's so BS that they're in this. It would be like with Ziggler winning the championship. It's like, you know what? At this point, why the heck not? It's the more interesting route. It's more interesting than Bron Breakker retaining. So, sure, let's have this be an MSK heel turn.
Okay, let's keep on rolling, and we'll talk about the last match we haven't talked about yet, and that is LA Knight versus Grayson Waller. This was the longest match of the night at 16 minutes and 5 seconds. It was the last man standing match that finally saw we didn't actually get a definitive winner here either. This was also a no contest where neither man could actually answer the ref's 10 count and get to their feet. The match kind of went all over the arena. I say arena, the small building that I'll refer to as an arena. The match kind of got spilled out into the crowd. They went up to like some scaffolding. Grayson Waller winds up getting tossed off of the scaffolding and just kind of like into oblivion. Like the camera doesn't follow him to see where he goes. It just kind of looked like he was knocked off of the scaffolding onto the concrete below or onto fans below or something. You couldn't really tell where he went. A couple seconds later, Sanga walked out of the crowd, Sanga being Grayson Waller's heavy, and was carrying Grayson Waller. It looked like he happened to be under there and just happened to catch him. So, you know, right places, right times, I guess thumbs up for Sanga. Unfortunately, Sanga, he continued his tradition of being the absolute worst bodyguard ever because about 3 minutes later, and 3 minutes is being conservative, I didn't even think it was 3 minutes later, he winds up getting himself handcuffed to the ring post by LA Knight and effectively made pretty much ineffective for the rest of the match. So, time thought this was going to be my match of the night. Match of the night was, for me, the main event. But this was damn close. I've been really high on this feud now for a while, even though it's been going since Halloween. Might have even been the episode or two before New Year's Evil, or not New Year's Evil, the Halloween episode, Halloween Havoc. It might have been an episode or two before that where this feud started. It's been going on for a really long time. I thought they were going to blow it off at Vengeance Day. They didn't. I thought they were going to blow it off tonight. They didn't. I have a feeling they're probably going to blow it off at Stand and Deliver. They won't, because that's just the pattern they seem to be going on right now. They probably will wind up blowing it off at Stand and Deliver. I feel like it's been going on for a long time. The fans are into it, though. They were really into this match here tonight. So, I mean, they could keep it going, but I feel like unless they've got something really, like, long-term planned for this, it's got to end sooner rather than later. LA Knight feels like he's probably main roster bound, you know, after showing up on the main roster a couple times. And Grayson Waller, he's probably the best heel to come out of the 2.0 class. And it was a complete surprise. You know, we've talked about it before, but Grayson Waller, like, at first, I wasn't sold on him. I was like, I didn't know what his deal was. He just kind of seemed like this happy-go-lucky Austin Theory knockoff to me. And that's, matter of fact, there was even one episode, I think it was one of the first 2.0 episodes, where it was either me and Bruce or maybe me and you, Tom, we got confused and thought that it was Austin, that Grayson Waller was Austin Theory, like in a group shot.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. At the wedding, right?
At the wedding, yeah, it was at the wedding, and he was standing at the Dexter Lumis Indy Hartwell wedding. He was standing in the crowd, like, you know, or not at the crowd, but like, you know, with the rest of the wrestlers around, you know, for the ceremony, and we all kind of kept thinking it was Austin Theory. We had no idea who he was. Because they hadn't, I don't think they had introduced him yet. They introduced him, I think it was either the next week or the week after. And, you know, he just really did. He seemed like an Austin Theory knockoff to me, like, you know, Austin Theory light type of a deal, you know, where Theory went to the main roster. But then he turned heel and everything completely changed for me about Grayson Waller. I feel like he knows his character. He's learning his character even better as the days go on. He's great in the ring. But he has the ability to just make you hate him. Like, he's so annoying and he's just so, like, grating. I love it. But I love it in that kayfabe, I hate you type of a way, you know? I feel like he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do to get you to hate him. And that's kind of a, I don't say it's a lost art because it's not really too much of a lost art, but that's hard to do. It is hard to get people to hate you, like, with a vitriol, you know? So I personally, I think he's doing a great job. This match itself was great. LA Knight, I can't really say anything bad about him. You know, like I said, you know, decent in the ring, in my opinion, one of the best talkers WWE has on payroll right now. So yeah, we'll see where this goes. Looks like it's probably going to keep going on to Stand and Deliver unless for some reason they blow it off between then now and then, but we'll see what happens. Tom, LA Knight versus Grayson Waller.
I'll be brief. The match was okay. Yes, LA Knight should be on the main roster by now. And Grayson Waller, the only reason I didn't mention him earlier as someone who should be NXT champion is because he's a heel and shouldn't win it. You should have maximum heat when he wins it. And that's not going to happen winning it off of Dolph Ziggler, I don't think.
No, I don't think it's the right time for him to do that myself. All right. So I think that is going to bring us to the end of our show tonight, guys. There's still a few segments that we didn't talk about, non-wrestling segments, but nothing really of note. If there is something you want us to talk about and we didn't get to it tonight, please feel free. Send us an email, pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. Or I should have said this at the beginning of the show. If you want to call in next week and be a part of the show, you can certainly do that. 515-605-9345 and press 1 to let me know you want to talk. It puts a little hand next to your phone number and says, hey, you know, I want to talk. Put me on the show. So, you know, I'll go ahead and do that. I am Nate Lindberg. You can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I do the NXT hits and misses, which I do have up on pwtorch.com for tonight for NXT Roadblock. And if you are interested in role-playing games and ways you can use take a look at them therapeutically, whether you want to look at it from an average, everyday Joe Schmo therapeutic perspective or from a clinician's point of view, check out our content over at Deegetime. It's D-E-G-E-T-A-M-E. I say our. It's nothing to do with the torch. It's me and my buddies. YouTube, D-E-G-E-T-I-M-E, Deegetime. And you can take a look, see what we have for content and ways to use RPGs in a therapeutic manner. Tom, who are you?
At Tom Staup on Twitter, and it's not time yet for the March bonus points, so don't listen to that. It's actually a rare week off for willing creatures, so don't listen to that. So I guess that leaves you with NXT 8 years back. We are now in a post-arrival world. Adam Rose has debuted with his Rosebuds. Adrian Neville is the new NXT champion, and Sami Zayn still wants that championship. Mojo Rawley is still plaguing us with his existence, and he now has his own section in the crowd where people show up who have made their own Mojo Rawley, their custom Mojo Rawley shirts, and they sit on their hands for the entire show except for when their boy's out there. We're having fun. Check it out.
All right, guys, that'll bring us to the end of this show tonight. And hopefully for the first time in 2022, next week, we're hoping we'll have all three of us, Kelly, Tom, and I. We keep trying every week. We've tried every week in 2022. And it's almost like last minute, one of us is like, can't do it tonight, guys. So hopefully we'll all be back next week. And to kind of will that into existence, I'm going to steal Kelly's sign off, and we'll see you in 7.